Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Frank About Health. Today is October 30th, 2025. It is the return of Deepak Sahni. The name of the episode is Deepak Sahni Health. We are actually going to talk again about his goal to be a centenarian. We're going to talk about his podcast, The Deepak Sahni Show. We're going to talk about Linda Marsonico and the fact that that's how we met through her when she appeared as a guest on the A Train to when he appeared as her guest on the A Train to Sedona. And we're also going to speak about how he wants to become a disruptor with a new program, which I think he has had on his website advertised as Vitality Unleashed. I had a chance yesterday to participate in one of those seminars, and I can see that, again, the word disruptor is someone who looks at chaos and does something about it. That has been the whole mantra since I have started this season of Frank About Health. Let me issue my disclaimer before I introduce Deepak to all of you. The information that you will hear about Deepak Sahni and myself throughout our conversation is food for thought and not to dissuade you from your ongoing treatment protocol, whether it's for mental or physical illness that you might be going through. At the same time, they are not the views of talkradio.nyc or of this show, Frank About Health, but they are thoughts and views about your health care, which we hope to advocate and provide more information of resources that you could use to help whatever might be going on in your life. That being said, Deepak, thank you for coming back to Frank About Health. And I do have a little brief bio on you, but why don't you just say a little bit about yourself before I confirm some of the stuff that I have.
Yeah, well, thanks, Frank. I'm super excited to be back on your show. I was on Linda's show twice. I think Chuck, I was on his show. I think it's like the fifth time I've been on the network. So I appreciate the you having me back. And yeah, you take it away with the bio, and we'll get into it.
So I have it all officially written. It says Deepak Sahni returns to give us updates on his podcast, his practice and progress on his journey to become a centenarian, which I already briefly touched upon. He wants to be a disruptor with his Vitality Unleashed program, which we will really focus on probably more in segment three. And then we will pay tribute to Linda throughout the show, because we would not have met if it wasn't for her. But at the same time, I think as another tribute, touch upon spirituality, if that makes sense, in the way that you do your practice. I know we haven't really discussed it at length, but she is a firm believer in the journey to love and compassion, which is a spiritual route. And based on our meeting yesterday, we touched upon the soul. So there might be a discussion point right there that we can definitely close the show with. And that's basically it. You will find during the commercial breaks, I will show you links to his podcast on YouTube as well as on Apple. And you will also see his website. And if you want at the end of the show to reach out to him, I believe you're available for consultations and any other kinds of conversations that you can strike up with people that might be in need of your support. So let's spend the hour just talking exactly about you. What would be the first thing you would
Who
like us to
doesn't
know?
love talking about themselves,
Correct.
right?
Exactly. But as a health advocate, as a practitioner based out of Canada, also knowing what's going on in the United States at this time, I'm sure you have your views on that. So I would like to get an overview from how your practice is may have been affected by that, or maybe how you are being more aggressive at finding solutions for people, whether through traditional or alternative means.
Yeah, great question. So yeah, yes, I do live here in Canada. Actually, most of my clients are actually US based, so I'm quite familiar with the system. Not maybe in all the little intricacies and I don't in how insurance billing and stuff like that. I don't really know that type of thing, but I do hear it from all sides. And I think commonality against in most countries, certainly the Western countries, is we've had this onslaught on our health for 40, 50 years based on policy, practices, what corporations are allowed to do into our food supply, environment, et cetera, et cetera. And we can't put the genie back in the bottle, that's out, but we can, as an individual and within our own families, advocate for ourselves and make decisions for ourselves, be that how we spend our dollar, vote with our dollars, or, you know, the practices that we actually do. And that's why I help to empower, you know, general population to take action. Not everyone can work with me, but also certainly with my clients to, you know, again, I like to say, you know, you don't want to be average, you want to be exceptional. So I try and help my clients be exceptional. And even people who just follow me, you know, if they can just, you know, take one little tidbit away and like ratchet up or notch up one level, hey, that's a win on my big mission to impact a million lives.
Yes. Yes. No, I totally understand. I remember when you were on the show a few months ago, I had said that I was going to have you come back to really highlight more of what you do in your practice up in Canada. I think you were talking about your history with your back injury and how you had changed your nutrition habits and you had gone through different treatment modalities to help with the goal of becoming a centenarian. Is there anything that you could impart that maybe you already have said or that you could add to that would inspire individuals such as myself who are going with the ongoing stress that is not even made by my own internal dynamics? It's made by what's in the media. It's made by what policy changes are being forced upon us, and it's out of our control. So I think that's part of what triggers the stress. We try to do something about it, but we can't. So we end up frustrated all the time. Is there anything you could recommend that I could, from the way you do your practice, that I could incorporate into my daily maintenance of quality of life?
Frank, a great question. And this is certainly something that in my own practice for myself that I do with myself and as evolved with my clients, that's evolved over time from when I first started working with people to currently. And I'm a big believer, you know, you mentioned we were at an event last night, an event that I hosted that you attended, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
You know, a lot about, you know, I call it the inner game, but really working with the unconscious mind and the power of our unconscious mind. And yes, we certainly live in very stressful times, all sorts, you know, political, environmental, you know, there's a lot of, I call it the hidden stressors, things that we don't even realize stress us out, you know, could be the food we eat, could be the home we live in, you know, all these environmental things. And then, yes, there's obviously like the big political things and the media and, you know, all these sorts of things. I will challenge a little bit anyone and maybe yourself a little bit as well, Frank, is that our, you know, the frame of mind and, you know, addressing our, you know, inherited or early childhood developed emotions and limiting beliefs. And again, it's not like that takes away the stressful times or the onslaught that we have from the outside in, but it can, mm-hmm. when we deal with our root causes, it can impact how we react to those external right. stimuli. So I would suggest for anyone to certainly, you know, look into that avenue of, you know, working in the inner root that I call the unconscious mind, that 90% that we don't always tap into. Most people don't always tap into. And right. once I learned the power of that, I also incorporate it into my methodology as one of the key pillars of my methodology in my program that you shared. So I want to just make sure that people, there's very tactical things we can do about stress, whatever type of stress we're talking about, you know, do this very, you know, habit change, you know, there's these things, but there's also working on the inside to like remove some of those blockages that, you know, we developed as children or even we inherited as well.
Yes. Yes. No, I could say based on everything you've said, you know, in my life, I grew up with a lot of disruption over being an epileptic individual. From the time I was 16, my very first seizure, till about the time I reached, I would say, my mid-40s, maybe early 40s, I didn't know if a seizure was going to hit me at any time. Okay, I had my medications, I had my treatments with my neurologist, I had my testing, but there were always those unpredictable factors that could have been sleep deprivation, stress itself, fatigue from flying all night if I took a late flight from LA to the East Coast, for example, or possibly being surrounded by chaos, individuals like my own parents who would be fighting, and it would look like that, you know, during a given situation, they would be fighting over finances or they would be fighting over healthcare or they would be fighting over some conflict. But my brain would process the shouting as if they're talking too fast, like my brain was creating its own triggers and whatever. And I remember that was actually my last seizure in 2005. It was two in a row because my brain was so fatigued and the external stressors made my brain just say, I need to recharge, literally, you right. know. But when I went through that whole experience, psychologically and mental health-wise, I don't think I was comfortable in my own skin because I felt like I was a walking tremor with an earthquake coming at any time, you know. And it wasn't until literally I got a grasp by obtaining my master's degree in neuropsychology and actually doing the research behind it shortly after that last seizure that I started to have a sense of agency over my condition that I just noticed. And I noticed this every time I mention it. 2005 was my last seizure and we're in 2025.
Yeah, so that's amazing. Well, that should be applauded in itself.
Thank you. Thank you. Although I will say there was one seizure I had in 2003 that created a lesion. So I have the partials that are, that's definitely a condition of a post-traumatic seizure that I take my medication for. And as long as I take my medication, nothing happens.
Yeah.
But when I wasn't having medication for that, I would stop speaking. Words would come out that didn't make any sense. I would not know where I was, but I would be conscious. That in itself is scary, but not as scary as feeling like you have no control over your body. You know, so it taught me education, advocacy, constantly talking about it. That in itself would remove the stigma, which in itself I was afraid of being exposed because of any social stigma. But the more I talked about it, I controlled the seizures, and at the same time, I wore it as a badge of honor. So it taught me that epilepsy can also be a lifestyle or a gift I was given to use to the benefit of others. So I'm noticing in what you said earlier that we all live in stressful times. A lot of people don't feel they have the agency to combat that stress. But if you use whatever you have that could be perceived as a weakness or a strength and are living your life around it, it normalizes it at least for yourself. Yeah, and then allows absolutely. You to determine who you need around you and who you need to keep at a distance.
Yeah, you know, and Frank, I know we're going to go to break here soon, but you said yes. The word twice now, and I think it's key for people to really pick up on. I'm going to underline this agency over your own life, right?
Yes.
Not to a doctor, not to your parents, not to, you know, the government or whatever. We need agency over our own life in our health, in our finances, you know, every aspect of our spirituality. We need agency. I think that's, you know, a key underlying word. If there's one takeaway from this entire conversation that we've had and will continue to have, it's right. You need agency for yourself.
So then I think before we go to break, would it be safe to say that our conversation over the last 15 minutes basically brought out that whatever chaos is going on, especially currently in the United States, is that we've all been kind of trained to not have agency?
I would say 100%.
Okay.
People that have agency are disruptive to the powers that be. When you have no agency, you toe the line.
Well, this is not a political show, but that's a good wrap up. I really appreciate that, Deepak. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned as we're here with Deepak Sahni, and we're going to talk more about his practice, his podcast, and spirituality right here on talkradio.nyc and on our social media, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitch. We'll be back in a few.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. So, we are in the process of revamping the entire website. Will be really different in January. Okay, that was from you. Okay.
Yep, that was a message to you specifically.
All right, no, that's cool. Either way, we're here to improve on everything that we currently have, especially because, like what everybody in the United States is aware of, this weekend is going to be a transition point for a lot of us when it comes to our SNAP, when it comes to our health insurance premiums, when it comes to our deductibles. I already got a call today that something that I've been paying for when it comes to my medication has gone up about $200. How do you like that? And that's after insurance. So it is interesting because, like we talked about in the last segment, our agency is kind of being usurped while we're trying to reclaim it. That's the struggle that creates the stress. And I think that one way of doing it is saying, okay, well, if I have to go without in order to maintain my mental health, then that's a choice I need to make. That'll at least let me still feel the agency and reduce the stress. You know, I mean, so I think a lot of people are not used to sacrificing health over rent or health over groceries or whatever. But the way things have been designed, things have to be truly budgeted, because at the end of the day, what matters is not what's in your bank account, it what's in your mental health state. You know, because without health, you don't have wealth. You know,
exactly. That's your biggest asset is your health.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it anyway. So
exactly. So that being said, I want to touch upon spirituality for a second. Yesterday, when we were in your Vitality Unleashed program on, what was that on? It was on a Zoom call, but you had gotten everybody through LinkedIn, right?
I knew everyone, including yourself personally. So yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Very, very curated group.
All right. So the thing is that people can join that program through your website, right?
I want to make a distinction here. So that was an event that I quite often hold is different from working with me in my program, which is a year long program that it follows my methodology, and someone requires to have a conversation with me. No one can just buy my services without a conversation. No. Yeah.
But I like the way that the topic of spirituality or the soul came up out of the blue,
very organically, right? There's no agenda to these meetings that you attended. It just came up organically.
Exactly. And I did hear the other individuals talk about what was ailing them, or whether it was a mental health issue or a physical joint issue. And I myself was talking about what we're talking about right now. But when that soul conversation came up, I was like, wow, that is impressive. That is unique. Do you think that a lot of people in general, especially during these hard times, need to be more focused on that more than ever?
I think we need to take a step back and what are we defining as soul or spirituality? You know, some people will tie that to religion. That's not the way I look at it. I think
I don't think of it as religion either.
Yeah, some people do, and many people do, but I don't think that. And then what is the soul? Yeah. Is it our essence? Is it our being? Is it even just our unconscious mind, as we talked about earlier? Like, it could be very, very lot of different things. But whatever your definition, I think we're generally, everyone's kind of in the ballpark here of what we're talking about. And I think, you know, that essence, our connection to, you know, the universe, a higher power, you know, just the stars, the universe, whatever you want to call it, or whatever you believe, you know, energy is not created or destroyed. It's just transferred. So I think, you know, having some appreciation for that, regardless of your beliefs and other things, it, you know, helps brings us closer to other people as a bridge to having conversations with other people. This other person is a, you know, beautiful human across from me that has a soul and has a family, and doesn't matter that, you know, they vote on the right and I vote on the left or vice versa, or what, whatever, they're, they have dark skin, I have light skin. Like, that's irrelevant when we get down to the essence of people, yes, whether we call it soul or spirit or what have you. And I think that's a really important conversation that more and more people are having, which is great. Could that conversation go a little faster? Probably, but, it's good that more people are awakening to, you know, the need to have these types of conversations.
Exactly. I'm coming from the triad of body, mind, and spirit. And I think what I have had more conversations like with Linda, or even with some other individuals that have been on Frank About Health, I look at the soul as that gut of your inner voice that is linking into your mind, body, and spirit, and actually speaking to you and manifest in different manifested ways, whether it's through dreams, through instincts, through energy, through whatever communication that a lot of people just tend to avoid, ignore, distract from because they're focused on what they're doing right now, or maybe they're sleeping or whatever the situation may be. But what I realized from the conversation last night is that when they have made phrases, you know, to benefit others, you need to benefit yourself first. Your health has to be stabilized first before you can help others, right? That's the same thing as engage with your soul, your spirit, your voice, your sense of what your mission is and whatever. And once you have a plan internally, then you project that out. And that creates a homeostasis, a balance between you and the other individuals or organizations or systems that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. With all that we've been thrown with, especially here in the United States, that has become more of, wait a minute, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? What can I do first before I engage in this external chaos, which you end up losing yourself if you haven't even done your own personal due diligence first. So I guess soul for each individual means something different, but I'm defining it as the very essence of who we are even after we transition.
Yep, that's a great way to define it for sure. And, you know, and I don't disagree, you know, mind, body, soul, but, you know, another, if I'm play, you know, the other side of the argument is there a difference, right? Our mind and our body aren't separated. Our mental health and our physical health aren't separated, right? Well, so you could say our soul is part of, even though maybe some, depending on your belief, is transitions right beyond our body, but like, yeah, maybe it's all just one, like mind, body, soul. It's a nice catchphrase, but maybe it's just us. It's just our essence, our humanity, our individuality. So, all right, not to disagree, just a little different way to
Different interpretation. Yeah. And I mean, regardless of what anyone's religious beliefs are, you know, that could be like a vehicle to help you connect with your soul if it's not something that's innate in you. And for those people who don't use religion as much but still have a belief in spirituality or the soul, they own themselves better, which is kind of like why I always say advocacy, self-advocacy. But what that really means is own yourself, you know, support yourself, be yourself. And then whatever you feel comfortable with, hopefully you could share with others and then be the best version of yourself. And together you have community. And then the idea of the soul, which could be based on religious principles or it could be based on just theory, is that when you pass on, your soul moves on to another platform.
100%. Yeah.
Right. So maybe that's how it sounds, like it's the same thing versus different. But you want to be the centenarian, so I think you'll get to know who your soul is after 101. Just a joke. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there is no age limit. It's depending on how you live your life in the moment with purpose, with intention, and live as long as you can. That's the way I think of it.
As long as you can healthily. That's my personal caveat, because no point living in the last 30 years in a hospital room with two
Correct.
And stuff. Yeah.
Correct. And like in cases that I've seen, like I mentioned about my cousin, I think on the last show we did together, my cousin is now in a nursing home. She had Alzheimer's disease increasing over time. And then last February, while I was also going through grief and other kinds of circumstances at that time, I had the muscle in me to put her as her proxy into the nursing home because it was either that or suffer some medical crisis in the public community, which looked like was about to happen. So it was hard doing that. But the thing that I noticed is that I was able to be in the moment and just do it and then deal with all the repercussions after the fact. So there must be something still fighting inside me and making things work, even during my most stressful moments. And I'm grateful for that, as I am grateful for being able to talk about it, like when we were together yesterday.
Yeah, but, Frank, you bring up a good point there that you didn't use these words, but you were talking about your inner strength, and it came out when it needed to be, when you had to make the decision. And I just want to point out that there's some people, you know, regardless of where they live, maybe more so in the U.S. right now, that feel like maybe there's a hopelessness and I don't have any power. Back to that agency we talked about, it's like, no, like you have to realize, like, it is all in you. It's just, you just have to channel it out. There is great strength within many people that they have not recognized in themselves. Maybe other people see it in them, but they don't see it in themselves, and that they haven't unleashed, so to speak, yet. So
Yes. And like I said, with the media and everything that's going on here, I think it is trained to distract you from your sense of self so that you can let the powers that be have their say. But I think that's going to make me, especially during this 2 or 3 year period we still have left in the current administration, I'm going to be thinking first, how do I feel? And then deliver myself to the world out at large in my best way possible. You know, and it is going to involve much more connection to my soul and my sense of spirituality. But at the same time, a lot of frankness with everyone I speak with, whether it's family, friends, colleagues, guests, so forth and so on. And if I sense that the individual is not authentic or whatever, I will exit. I am just going to keep myself at the ability of strength to give as much good as I can to my community at large.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that bridges another great topic, Frank, about, like, you know, staying in our own power. And sometimes that means we have to remove people from our lives, friends, sometimes it's family, coworkers, whatever, so that, you know, there, people can be a huge suck on us or drain on us, and to own our own power. And that everything that relates to, including health, which is what I mostly talk about, is, you know, we have to surround ourselves with those who support us and lift us up, not those who are trying to pull us down. And sometimes we have to make hard choices.
Yeah, I think I've done a few already the last 6 months. But, you know, I see a lot of doors opening up lately, and I'm hoping to walk through them over the next 6 to 8 weeks before 2026 anyway. And that was why it was my pleasure to do my first ever sign off a show from the network with Linda, because we were able to reflect not just on her journey of love and compassion, but also on what my journey has been during my trying times, especially this past year, and what I'm anticipating to be a growth period coming into the new year, as long as I don't do what you just said, which is welcome the people that really don't belong there. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, to grow, we can grow our capacity, our container, but that's one aspect. The other aspect is letting go of things that don't serve us, so we have more capacity in our existing container to go to the direction that we want to go. And sometimes that means closing some of those doors, letting some people go, so new people can come in, new opportunities, like you said, can come into our life.
So ladies and gentlemen, when we return from our second break, we're going to talk about those new opportunities, especially more about the program that I went to yesterday and how other people can engage with you in that going forward. Sound good? All right.
Fantastic.
All right. So we'll be back in a few.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and the space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. As you saw during the commercial break, I showed you Deepak Sahni's YouTube channel, which houses his podcast, The Deepak Sahni Show. And my question to you, Deepak, is, was Linda ever on your show?
Technically on the podcast, no. But in November of 23, I did a summit, a Reversing the Effects of Aging Summit. And Linda was one of our guest speakers on that summit, talking about her zone of genius, spirituality, and such. So I have interviewed her, but she, I guess technically not officially on the podcast.
No, but that's good. You got to see her one-on-one. I remember when she introduced you to me, she was saying, there is a guy that is a definitely good guest to have on your show. He will open up doors definitely in the areas of spirituality and health and wellness. And of course, we did our show together, and this is our follow-up. But I am interested in how you invited me to that vitality wellness, or that's what it's called, right?
It was essentially a mastermind. It was a mini mastermind event last night. Yes. That I, like I mentioned earlier, I host roughly monthly. Sometimes it's in person where I live. Sometimes I travel and do it live in other cities. Quite often it's online. We did an online one yesterday. And really what I do is entrepreneurs, leaders in their fields, just get them together to open up the conversation around health, and not just general sense, but like really advanced, the things, the cutting edge, you know, the things that have me excited, that crossroads of, you know, cutting edge science, technology, and how that impacts our leadership and you know, of course, longevity and all that sort of thing. And, anticipation of this upcoming show, I thought I'd invite you on, get to meet some other cool leaders as well. And so that's what I do. Again, it's very highly curated. If someone's interested, that, you know, that kind of fits, if you're a leader in your organization or in your community, maybe that's of interest, and you're interested in, you know, science and technology as it relates to health, reach out to me, and we'll see if it's a good fit to be in that little mini mastermind. And the name is very similar to my actual program, which I'm not sure if we'll get a chance to talk to you about today, but
No, I really liked it very much. And I found myself not only engaged as I am right now in this conversation, and as I continue to be engaged with every one of my guests, but I noticed that when I'm not doing my show and it's week over week that goes by, all of my thoughts and ideas about health and wellness stay within my own brain. I don't have a platform to engage with other fellow communicators about health like you until last night. And so I found it very motivating to do that in my Voices of Disruption campaign, which is my current mode of thinking with Frank about health, especially with what's going on in this country. So I want to try to incorporate that into more group sessions like that. But speaking engagements, and I know you said you're going to be in the city at some point. Please let me know when that is and I'll attend. I'd like to see you in action. But do you find that to be more of something that you're, well, do you find that you're engaging in that more often now than you have maybe even as far back as 6 months ago?
Yes, we'll be doing more of that particularly. I find, and now, as you know, Frank, you attended yesterday, there was no call to action, there was no sales pitch or nothing like that. It's just really fostering communication and the thought process. And I just think more people need to think about, especially leaders, because when you think about this for yourself, and implement things. And of course, you're going to do that with your family as well. But then it goes into your organization and your community. And it's not just one person I'm working with. Now I'm working with 10, 20. I've had clients before that have 5,000 employees and they implement things systemically through their organization. So again, right. there was no sales thing or anything, but I do find many people, you saw yesterday, one person raised their hand that maybe they need to talk to me about working with me directly. And, yes. You know, that's a secondary benefit, but it's real. I'm trying to get the dialogue and the different pattern of thinking about long-term health and the technologies that are available to now that most people don't even realize is available to us. And the price keeps coming down all the time. So the more I do that to foster that conversation, I mean, indirectly, I tend to get some clients from that as well, which is a nice secondary benefit, of course, right?
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, at the same time, like I keep referring to it as a disruptor, meaning you're actually disrupting the norm, which is most people don't like to communicate about their health for some reason, when yeah. actually there's more mental health energy generated by communicating about it, like I mentioned in my case with epilepsy. And I think I noticed that, especially in Louis. You know, he was like taking a picture of all of us and he was really like wanting to reconnect even more and more and more when he was just explaining how he feels a little bit cut off from his own sense of value from the successful career he's already generated. And I think you opened up a new door for him to start walking through, you know, so I think my perception, and I could be wrong because I don't know if it's, you know, you had people from Canada there as well as South Africa, and of course me and one other individual from Idaho. So the two of us are from the US and we each have our different perspectives based on our home country situation. But it's still the same wish that I think we all have, which is to talk about the very things that for some reason people are not doing. And I guess that's something that I want to try to find out if you know the reason for that or if you have a sense as to why people are just cutting themselves off. They want to be connected, but they still cut themselves off.
I think there's certain topics. It kind of goes back a little bit to earlier what we were talking about. You know, there is some benefit to numbing the population to a variety of topics, health being one of them. You know, it's funny, it's top of mind because I just a few days ago attended a wealth wills and estate planning seminar type of thing with our brokerage. And again, how people don't talk about death with their family. They don't talk about their wishes, what they want. You can translate that into health as well. So I think people just need to communicate these things. What are their wishes in regards to their health, to their death? You know, what is available to them? You know, I've had many people before who've like, oh geez, I can't afford this now. And then they actually come back to me later. It's like, well, you know, I talked to my aunt and they're really supportive. I never realized they wanted me to be healthy. And they gave me the money to join them for your program, Deepak. Like that never would happen if you didn't share with your community that this is what you like to do, or this is a goal you have, or whatever the case may be. So I think it's just in general, health or otherwise, we just need to communicate more in a respectful manner, of course, right?
Of course, of course.
You know, I'm thinking politics here, but you know, we need to just have, you know, open dialogue. And it starts, well, honestly, let's be honest with everyone, right? Everyone listening, it starts with ourselves, our self-talk, right? Then the people closest to us, you know, our spouses, our kids, our parents, our family, and then yes. our community and our coworkers, and it builds out. And if everyone could do that, we'd be much better off as a society at whole and globally, right?
Correct. Correct. Well, you know, it's funny. It's sort of like when people were asking last night, I'm looking for the root cause, or I'm looking for the solution, or I'm looking for the resource that I need. Okay, you're looking for it, but when you spell out what you're asking for by describing your health situation, what you're asking for just comes to you. I guess a lot of people are seeing the cart before the horse.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think it's John DeMartini, Dr. John DeMartini, who said, you know, the quality of our life is based on the quality of the questions you ask.
Yes.
And I think when you're in the right communities, the right rooms, and that's probably what I try and do with the event you attended, bringing, you know, bright people together to ask these types of questions for themselves and to help others in the format that I run, quite often, I know this for myself too, I'll be asking one of my mentors or someone that I perceive as, you know, on a higher up than me on whatever the plane we're talking about.
Yes.
And a lot of times as I'm asking the question, the answer actually comes to me and I kind of stop myself. You know, I just answer the question myself. Thanks. Right. Like, cause once you can kind of open up our consciousness, both our unconscious and consciousness,
you know,
we can tap into more. And a lot of times we know the answer. We intuitively know the answer ourselves.
Right. Right. I mean, if anything, what I'm taking even from this discussion in this particular segment of the show is that here I am trying to do this Voices of Disruption campaign. Here are the other people that were at the event last night using their business to help change or improve on healthcare, or even the one person who's going to start talking with you for help with her joint pain or whatever. We are all seeking the same thing, which is engagement with others, the very thing that people are pulling away from. It's the conundrum. But now, even more so, we have to disrupt that normal way because it is now negatively impacting all of us. We now have to be more seeking community than ever. And I think attending that thing last night was my preview as to the ecosystem, especially in healthcare, that all of us, regardless of where you live, US, Canada, Europe, whatever, we need to engage that healthcare is human care. That is above capitalism or socialism or whatever ism is out there in the world. 100%. You know,
go ahead, Frank.
I mean, basically for me, last night was a catharsis. That's the best thing I could say.
Well, I'm glad I was able to provide that opportunity for you and the others. And Frank, what you were just saying reminded me of the saying, and we've all heard this before, you know, our world is, you know, the most connected it's ever been through our devices, but we're also the most alone, right?
Yeah, because the devices,
this is not my phone. My phone is out of the room, but let's pretend this is my phone. We're doing this and we're not even talking to the person across the table from us, right? So I would encourage everyone, and I'm not trying to preach from my high horse or anything like that, but I would encourage everyone, find one time, maybe it's around the dinner table, no devices, talk to each other, you know, just saying.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's like, I don't know if I was saying that yesterday to you or to another guest on Frank About Health, but I was saying that the two main disruptions of interconnectedness is definitely the media and misinformation, but also the technology we carry. You know, it was planted there over many, many years, you know, internet, social media, and now AI. But when it became more increasingly dependent on technology, everything becomes more fragmented, you know. And I don't know if we just live in a culture of extremes, but there definitely needs to strike a balance, because at the end of the day, the only connectedness that matters is human connectedness.
You know? And I'm a huge proponent of, you know, it came up yesterday with yourself, and I'm sure you've talked about it on the show already, you know, just taking a break sometimes from the news, media in general, whatever the case may be. You know, I'll just speak for myself. You know, I don't turn my phone on. Like, you can't get a hold of me. Like, not even my mom can get a hold of me before like 9 o'clock in the morning. And then by 8:39, sometimes it depends, a weekend maybe later, like my phone is off. Partly because I protect my sleep and I don't want to be disrupted and I'm not expecting anything. And, you know, if me and my wife have this disagreement sometimes, she said, well, you know, we both have aging parents. Well, what if something should happen? Like, I want to be contacted. I'm like, look, if you get a call at 3 a.m. that something happened, like, you can't do anything anyway. All you did is like wreck your sleep, right? Like, you'll find out in the morning that, you know, someone's at the hospital or whatever. So that's very important, but it's also for my mental sanity. And, you know, I'm not looking at screens at night, you know, like I purposely wear, you know, these blue blocking glasses. So there's a lot of little practices we can do it just to contain our own, block all that external stimuli out so we can like have some sanity in our lives. And even if it's just like one day a week or 1 hour here, like we just need to start making this more of a habit. We've kind of got way in the spectrum. We need to, you know, I'm not saying let's go back to the 1940s or anything like that, but like we need to like pull back a little bit, I think, right?
Absolutely. Now, everybody, we're about to take our final break. But before we do that, I just want to say the takeaways from this section were, one, to you, Linda, spirituality and the road to love and compassion begins with ourselves. And that's what I think Deepak and I had pointed out. Second, to the world out there, get in touch with your soul, your spirit, your instincts, your intuition, and remember to do the due diligence and health and wellness on yourself first every morning before you go out there and do your best effort as a colleague, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a spouse of any sort. And more importantly, whenever you see the constant chaos in your home country, make sure you know what your resources are first and see how you can combat or make choices if you need to. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about future live interactions between you and I, as well as what other conferences or talks you'll be doing. And then I think I touched upon something where maybe we can do something for Linda together right here on Frank About Health. So everyone, please stay tuned for the wrap-up of this episode of Frank About Health on talkradio.nyc and our socials. We'll be back in a few. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Now, for those of you who saw the video screen during the commercial break, I showed the Deepak Sani Show on Apple Podcasts. Deepak, are you available on other platforms besides your YouTube channel?
Yeah, YouTube, Apple, Spotify. Those are the three ones I mainly check. I think we're on all of them, actually, but I don't. I have to ask the production team. I don't actually do that myself. I just do recording. I just record.
That's cool. But at the same time, do you use the platform to get more involved in live speaking engagements? Is that what you have done in the past or are starting to do more of?
You know, it's very interesting. We're not going to make this the podcast show, but you know, we're ending season three and we're heading into season four in the new year here. And right. Every season has had a bit of a theme. And so there's some intentionality behind that. To answer your question, Frank, like using my podcast to specifically lead to other speaking events has never been a focus or one of the themes, but it has served other purposes in the past. And we're moving a little bit of a different direction as we head into season four in the new year. And we're just starting to, I think tomorrow actually is the first recording of a new episode for season four that won't be released until 2026.
Wow, very nice. So how do you figure your place in healthcare to be a primary focus? Is it your practice or is it your practice and your advocacy work combined?
I'd say it's both. I mean, obviously in a platform like this or Linda's show, or, you know, I've been on, 150 different media outlets before. There's some advocacy that comes there, obviously with my clients as well. So I'd say it's a mixture of both of helping my clients through their challenges so they can be the best versions of themselves. They never, no one has to be a centenarian like me. Most of my clients don't have that goal, but they do want something better. And then again, that, as I mentioned, that ripple effect that goes from them outwards to very minimum their immediate family. And quite often with the people I work with, it goes into their companies and stuff like that as well. So there's some advocacy. And, you know, again, I have a mission to impact a million lives. And actually one of my mentors says, that's too small, Deepak. You should think bigger. So
Awesome. No, I like that. I think if anything, what I've learned is that I've done Frank About Health for, I think the end of November will be 4.5 years. But I'm at the point, especially again, I started the show by talking about the chaos and disruption we're going through in this country. But more importantly, even with the way that I've gone from epilepsy and COVID, just like my commercial said, to now the front lines of healthcare transformation, I'm at the point where I want to deliver a large-based community solution, whether it has to do with healthcare itself, or whether it has to do with paying for it, or whether it has to do with just bringing the awareness to everybody of what is not misinformed. I am interested in participating in live speaking events. I am interested in a documentary that has been produced and is now available on YouTube. And I'm not going to promote it on this particular show, but I know that during the coming weeks, I will have a barcode on the corner of my screen so people can go check it out and understand the legacy and history of Frank About Health. But more importantly, the affinity that I had with talkradio.nyc going on 9 years now, and meeting Linda as well as Sam Leibowitz, the executive producer with his show, The Conscious Consultant Hour. And we now have two new health programs. Beneath the Calm is one of them. And actually, there's Dr. Mira Brankhu, the hard skill. She is a neuropsychologist, but she's doing industrial psychology. So I wouldn't call that a health show, but it helps with people's awareness of their leadership potential. So that kind of stuff, that kind of content has definitely built a community, but there's a certain limitation in the audience reach because it's still virtual. There needs to be a higher level of integration, which I'm hoping to spearhead in the coming months. And so I think what you invited me to last night is a good start, and I want to participate in any more that come up. And of course, I'll hear about them from you. But maybe you and I can also collaborate in having speaking events, although virtually, like have Linda come on Frank About Health with you and with Siobhan Lorice, who was on last week, and maybe even Sam Leibowitz, and we just feature her. And like, maybe I should do a speaker feature series or something of people who are advocating for things that really look at the triad we talked about earlier, mind, body, spirit, or just bring a lot of transparency to something so critical as healthcare. Because like I said, without your health, you don't have anything.
You got zero. You got nothing.
Exactly. And so I guess I'm kind of already indicating what my future plans are, and as you've been indicating what yours are. But is there anything out there that maybe you've kept secret that you want to share with anyone that you're going to be working on? Like, I know you mentioned season four of your show, but are you working on a book? Are you working on some other event? Or maybe if you
Yeah,
can't
so
say,
no,
you can't say.
there's a couple things. I am going to be hosting, it'll be virtual, an event. I'm not sure if it'll be a 1 day or a 3 day event. It'll be very health focused. That'll be in the spring. We're just starting the planning stages right now. These productions take like 6 months to put out. By the end
Yes.
of 26, I've have this. I haven't publicly stated here yet. Probably no one's heard it, but I have said it publicly. By the end of 2026, have a first draft of my own book, my solo book. So I've been a part of two international best-selling collaboration books. So I'm a
Yes.
two-time best-selling author, but it'll be my own. And one of my goals, my big mission, this is some time out, but it is my big, hairy, audacious goal, is that when someone says, "Oh, Frank, have you read Deepak's new book?" You're going to go, "Oh, which one, Saini or Chopra?" That's the level that I want to get to at some point. Probably not with the
Yes.
next book, but at some point. So yes, I have a book writing in 26 and a big event that I'm doing in the spring, probably June of 26, plus a lot of little pop-up things. Like I mentioned offline, I'll be in Denver, I'll be in Salt Lake, I'll probably be in Miami, I'm going to be in San Diego in April, and doing similar type of events that you attended, but in-person ones as well.
Awesome. Well, everyone out there, you've heard it here first that both myself and Deepak Sawhney are going to be engaging with you in more forms other than our respective shows. and just continue to be reaching out to us on social media or by email or our websites so that you can get more information on where we could be of service or advocacy for you. I will say that during this hour, we have paid tribute to Linda Marsonico, but we've also paid tribute to other people without mentioning their names. And I think that that being said, this would be my time to recommend three books. I don't have them here with me. Wish I did. But obviously, The A-Train to Sedona by Linda Marsonico. There is also Soul Setting by Levy, who was on Frank About Health about a year ago. And you could also find the episode on my YouTube channel if you're interested to know more about the book. And then one book that I have been really touting this entire year is called The Great Healthcare Disruption by Dr. Marshall Runge. It is available on Amazon.com and on his website. And it is definitely a roadmap for all of us, whether it's about healthcare itself or whether it's about the disruptions we're seeing, especially here in the United States. I got motivated to talk about those books because of your upcoming book, Deepak. So I hope you don't mind my taking the privilege right there.
No, of course. No. It's your show. I love that.
All right. And for anyone, I did not write a book, but I did Being Frank for a Healthy Future, which is a documentary on YouTube, an hour and 20 minutes at length. However, you can watch it at your own pace. There are three sections in it. It talks about during the COVID years. It talks about where we are now. And it talks about the future. But it's about healthcare advocacy. And, of course, there will be more add-ons to what I will be doing, not just on Frank About Health, but also with my company, Healthy Media, which I formed in September. And you will be knowing more all about that throughout the next 8 episodes of Frank About Health between now and the end of the year. Deepak, we're about to end the show. I want to thank you again for being here and paying our respects to Linda. We definitely will work together with her again in the near future. And thank you, Jesse, behind the scenes for everything you've done to help put this show together live. And if any of you have any questions, they can email me at frankrharrison1@gmail.com. And where can they email you, Deepak?
Yeah, you showed my website there. I have the contact information there, deepaksandhealth.com. And Frank, again, thank you for having me on a second time on your show. I appreciate it.
No problem. And there may be a third. We'll figure that out.
Oh, yeah, maybe. No limits.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for staying tuned to this episode of Frank About Health. You will see me next week. It'll be a different location, but it'll definitely be a live episode of Frank About Health. And so we're signing off right now. Stay tuned for other shows on talkradio.nyc and see you all next week. Take care. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsonico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.